Welcome to W3WW3 Talk Radio, your 24/7 anytime listening internet radio show. This is part one of Is There Life After Net Ready?
In just one moment, we're going to be talking with our favorite internet e-business consultant. And I say e-business, even though in a prior interview, John suggested that the E in business is silent.
This is Larry and Pat Nelson on W3W3 Talk Radio, here with John Stefanis of Cisco Systems and author of our favorite book about doing business on the web, Net Ready. John, thanks for joining us today.
Well, Pat and Larry, thank you very much for the invitation again.
Yeah, well, John, let's get right down to business. You know, given the economic downturn and the events over the past 12 months, what is the relevance of being net ready, and what's the interest level?
Larry, we have seen in the marketplace over the past several months has been the very, very little decrease in the in net readiness, especially the notion about, well, I understand, I've learned a lot more, I've learned a lot in the past 2 years, and I think they're coming down to it is as relevant today as it was 2 years ago, if not more so, because quite frankly, in the old days, when the market was really good, pick up money anywhere, and now it isn't that available. So you have to really think through what are you going to do and how you're going to do it. And the first part of that is how net ready am I, and where should I really focus, and do I have all the competencies and my technology in place and my operating model in place to do that? So it's as relevant today as it was even 2 years ago.
John, you've always given our listeners sage advice, and you have never held back any punches. Are the four pillars of net readiness that we have discussed in prior shows, are they still meaningful and relevant today?
Yes, they are. The four pillars of net readiness that we discussed in prior shows, the one that has emerged as being probably more pertinent today than it was in the past is the pillar of governance, or your operating model. And I believe the reason for that is as companies adjust to different economic times, they're realizing that, yes, you do need leadership, and by the way, having competencies isn't an issue, and my technology isn't an issue, it's how do I make it work together, and that's the governance issue. And as they, try to adapt to a very changing, rapidly changing environment, how do you build an operating model or put the governance in place to actually be agile enough to deal with that?
Isn't that tougher today with all the new teams that have been formed and with all the reorganizing and all?
That's the issue. They do a lot of reforming, they do a lot of organizing, and if you look at companies that have been successful during this transition, they tend to have a very robust operating model or governance model. They tend to delegate a lot more downward. It's not so much command and control. They also, quite frankly, have a lot more empowerment. And that's the way they deal both internally, but more so externally, in forming relationships with other companies or partners or vendors or suppliers.
John, I'm sure you see just about every kind of possible challenge. What are the one or two top issues you see your clients grappling with in today's environment?
The one key issue is reducing operating costs. And that is probably more critical today than it was in the past. And to reduce it to the point that you're not cutting into the muscle, but just taking out the fat of the organization. And the other is I also have to increase my revenue stream, the top line, as well as the bottom line. That's a very, very delicate balance for most companies. And that is, again, a major challenge. And it's where do you get the new business? Well, Europe is very strong right now, but the rest of the world isn't. And if you don't have a presence offshore, should you be thinking about having a presence offshore? Those are the kinds of key issues that the companies that we are dealing with face day in and day out.
Well, it sounds like some real tough issues.
They are. They're not easy to solve.
How about ROI, return on investment? What's the time horizon for ROI in today's environment?
Those three letters, ROI, have become extremely important. In fact, they're like capital letters that are highlighted in the neon lights. And nowadays, if a project, for example, projects that deal with the internet or with web-based applications, it's anywhere from 6 months to maximum a year. And for two reasons. One, if you can't show that kind of return, maybe I should take my resources and redeploy them someplace else. And if it takes longer than 12 months, more than likely the project will not get done. They just don't have the kind of money they used to have or the investment capital to make a lot of bets in a lot of different areas. So that is a very, very key issue as far as, if you can't have a return and you can't show, what it could do in 6 months or a maximum 12 months, let's go on to a different project.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's going to be pretty tough for some folks.
Larry, it's almost an impossibility for some folks that are used to, well, you know, why worry about a return? The money, let's just budget it, and that's it. And it doesn't happen like that anymore.
No, 2-3 years ago maybe, but not today.
That's right.
Yeah. Say, John, since we're going to be discussing and continuing this discussion on is there life after Net Ready, what's one piece of advice you would give a startup today?
Any piece of advice I could ever give any company right now is, you know, granted you have to have the right leadership and the right operating model. And we talked about this in the past about having, you know, basically a good business plan or a business model in place. But I think the key thing is cash. And cash nowadays is really king. And you can't get investment capital the way we used to, as we mentioned earlier. So unless you have a cash stream that can sustain you for, you know, a year or a year and a half or 2 years, it is very, very, you know, difficult to make a business succeed. And cash has always been important before, but now cash is really king again.
Whoa, cash is king. I've often heard that cash is also the poor man's credit card. I wonder if there's a correlation there.
Well, I think the poor man's credit card is now becoming, quite frankly, a very viable way to do business nowadays. Because even with interest rates being low, depending upon your credit rating, you really have to have a lot of cash.
Mm. Hey, John, I hope the hint that you gave us a number of weeks ago is true. Are you writing another book, and what's the topic?
Yes, we are writing another book, or we're attempting to write another book, Larry. Let me put it that way.
It changes daily, huh?
It does, and you know, when you have a day job, writing another book becomes problematic. What we're doing, we don't have a title for the book yet, and it's, you know, let's call it for the sake of the discussion, Net Ready 2. And what we've learned is, yes, Net Ready has done well, and people have adopted it. They understand the concepts behind it. Now they're down to, okay, and it goes back to our earlier comment. Okay, now that I've done this and I am ready, what do I do next? How do I take what I did in Net Ready and operationalize it, actually make it happen, number one? Number two, you've got to tell me what the return on my investment is going to be for each and every project that I do. So we're trying to take it one layer down. Okay, now we've talked about all the projects that you're doing and all the portfolio of applications that you can have. Which ones do you attack first, and why would you attack them? Give me the ROI in the business case. So the book will focus primarily on, literally, if you're a line manager or a director or an executive, the pragmatics of taking an idea and, you know, literally a plan and putting that plan into reality and measuring it ruthlessly.
John, we know your current book, certainly in our minds, is a bestseller, and it's required reading in many universities around the U.S. How many foreign countries has this been distributed in?
Larry, that book has been translated into 10 languages that I know of so far, and has sold 120,000 copies globally.
Whoa, great!
Congratulations. And I can't tell you how excited we are to hear about the second book. John, thanks very much for today.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on the show again.
Yes, this is Larry and Pat Nelson with John Safanis on the World Wide Web Radio Show. Check out our other channels on W3W3.com.